May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure you identify what is on the screen. Could somebody help me with the name? That's Scottish thistle. And it's said to be the oldest recorded national flower. And is probably one of the most well-known and easily recognized symbols of Scotland. And historically, it is said that in 1503, the marriage of King James, the fourth of Scotland, to Princess Margaret Tudor of England, seems to have been inspired or have gained inspiration behind the poem entitled The Thistle and the Rose, a poem that was written by William Dunbar. Another symbol which draws attention, and I'm sure you know this, okay, and you can tell me more about the symbol. It invokes loss of meaning. In itself, a flag is just a rectangular piece of cloth stuck onto a pole, but it's the symbols which the colors and designs on the flag represent that truly give it its importance. There's a legend, and of course there are many legends, a legend that says how when the Picts were fighting the Anglo-Saxons, King Angus had a dream on the eve of the battle that St. Andrew appeared to him carrying his cross. The king vowed that if, with the saints' help, he gained the victory, then St. Andrew would be the patron saint of Scotland, and his cross the flag of Scotland. Angus did win, and that is how, from the legend, we now have St. Andrews as the patron saint of Scotland. And the legend also says that this saint is believed to be providing protection to Scots. Now, our faith has many symbols. For example, the cross represents the death and resurrection of Christ. Bread and wine represent the body and the blood of Christ. Palm branches symbolizes victory and also represents a martyr who sacrifices his or her life for the sake of faith in Christ. And water is symbolic of baptism. There are so many symbols. Now, in today's world, we also have this symbol, the symbol of McDonald's. I guess some of us like McDonald's. And if you don't like McDonald's, you might like the King's or you like something else. But that's the symbol. Once you see this, you know that you are in McDonald's. Again, we have other symbols. And once you see this, you know you are in Google. There's another symbol we have today. You see the red, the green and blue and yellow flags of Microsoft. You also see this. Once you see this, you are like, oh, Microsoft, you are here again. So these are all symbols we find today. And there's another symbol we also have in our society. And what's that? Mr. Bonnie. So these are all symbols we have today in our society. And so symbols are very much a part of our culture, is a part of who we are. There are so many things we find in society that tells us something about so many things. Today's teens may not shout loyalty to their favorite group by waving palm branches. Instead, what they will shout is jump up and down and dance. Am I speaking to the young people here? Is that what you shout? Jump up and dance. Jump up and down and dance. You find it when your favorite team is playing football in the stadium and people are holding their hands. Jump up and down and dance. And that is exactly what young people might do today, instead of using palm fronds to wave. In Jesus' time, it wasn't an accident that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Matthew made reference to the time that the prophet Zechariah proclaimed that a king will come to you triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey. The donkey in the ancient time was symbolic of humility and peace. By making his entry into Jerusalem, Jesus wanted the masses, the people, to understand that he was a person of humility and peace. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 11 to 12, Jesus said, "The greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus riding on a donkey lines up with what we read, or what we read in Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus, although equal to God, chose to empty himself of his human rights in humility to identify with weak humanity. So he shows it was an intentional act that Jesus made. In our society today, humility is not an attribute that will be on anyone's top 10 list. Humility is the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. It is knowing who you are and accepting to be treated differently. It does not mean you are naive. It doesn't mean that you don't know who you are. It is simply an openness of not shouting too much aloud your importance at the expense of others. It is not speaking so much about what you do, what you have done, and what you can do at the expense of listening to others to see and to hear what they are able to offer. It is the acceptance that Christ is working in our lives and that whatever it is that we do because God bids us do. We do because he gives us the power to do what we are able to do. So humility is accepting and knowing who we are, but accepting to be treated differently. And I suppose it's a difficult situation to be, where instead of telling people, "You know who I am?" Jesus did not present himself as a hero. That was not his intention. Riding along in a limo, that was not what he did. He entered on the back of a donkey as a humble servant of God. Humility. And I always say that the way up is the way down. If you want to go up, you need to go down. And that was exactly what Jesus did. That although he was, he didn't count himself to be of equal status with God, but he humbled himself and died the death, the lowest, the shameful death for our salvation. In Isaiah chapter 45, that was read to us by Chris, the Creator is not only the one who began everything, but also the one who maintains everything in existence. He controls and guides everything. And surprising us is just one of the things God does. And we have to come to terms with that. The way Jesus came into Jerusalem. Some versions will read verse 22 of that book. The book of Isaiah, chapter 45. "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Look to me and be saved. Turn to me," NIV says, "turn to me and be saved. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth." This is a simple but powerful statement. It shows the plan of God for our salvation. It shows the love behind salvation, that there is this strong love we've been talking about looking at the story of Jonah, that there's this powerful love that God shows that is behind our salvation. God pleads with us, look to me. He's inviting us. Look to me. In the face of the challenges we face in our world, look to me. In the face of the bad news we hear, look to me. In the face of the devastation, losses we experience, look to me. He's inviting us to look to him. He says, look to me. Look to me. Maintain the right focus. It's just like when you are driving. You try not to engage yourself in any form of distraction. You look straight. And I don't know if you've ever wondered why the windscreen, the front windscreen is wider than the rear. Why is it so wide? Because what is ahead of us is far greater than what is behind us. Look to me. That is God's invitation to us on this Palm Sunday. He's inviting us to remove our eyes from every form of distraction and look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. If there's anything you miss in this Easter, don't miss the fact that we are being invited to look unto Christ. Look to me. Stop looking at yourself, and that's God's word. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your own weaknesses. Don't look at your powerlessness, your past. Not even upon your present, but look unto me. Our focus should be on Christ Jesus. And that is the message that Isaiah gives to us today. Isaiah shows us the extent of God's saving love, all the ends of the earth, both tall and strong, the weak and the powerful. God's salvation is for all. Look unto me. Look unto me. That is God's word. If that word can ring in your heart in the coming days, look unto me. If that word, if this could sound and resound in your mind as you journey into the future, then you have achieved a lot. Look unto me. That's God's word. And I wish I can say it better this morning. I wish I can say it better to someone in this service or someone who will listen to this message online. Look unto me, and that's God's word. Don't look at your past. Don't look at what people have said concerning you. Look unto Christ. Don't even look at reports, doctor's reports. These are all helpful, but look unto Christ. Look unto him. And that is God's invitation. Look unto me. Turn unto me. Because sometimes we look at events around us and we become so powerless, we become so faithless. And so today we are invited to look unto God. Let us have a shift of mindset. Let us refocus our mind, our eyes on him who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. In the story we tell on this Palm Sunday, we are reminded that this day and this week are not about us. They are all about God's love, God's eternal, unchanging, everlasting love. God's love that is constant. Jesus does not only sustain the weary, he obediently suffers humiliation in order to bring salvation to you and to me. And so this day and this week are about a new relationship with God made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Look unto Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Look unto him. And I just hope that you can hear this voice again at the end of this service. You can hear it as you go home. You can hear this invitation as you go to bed tonight and as you wake up in the morning tomorrow. Look unto me, Jesus says. Amen.